Blog Talk Radio.
Well, greetings, everyone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is the Lighthouse Team Ministry Church here on Shoemate Road, Akron, Kentucky. Stay with us now.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious of memories, oh what joy, they bring to me.
They bring to me
how I love.
With my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy.
With my friends at the old country church. Oft my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious
with my friends at the old country church.
All right. Going to be talking with you this evening from John chapter 14 and 15, the Gospel of John. You know, we've been told many, many, many things. But there's one thing about it. The Word of God is always right. Always. And He's always there. He always keeps His promises. Man will break theirs, but God won't break His. And we're told a lot of things in these two chapters of how to walk in Him and with Him. But you know, the main thing is walking with Him. Because that will take up your full commitment to Him. But He's always in us. If you are a child of God, He's always in you. But we need to be always walking with Him. And that's where we fail a lot of times. Seems like we all will fail at times like that. Now, He starts out this, John does, this first verse. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. So we've got to put our trust in Him. Not in the church, not in me, but in Jesus. He is the foundation. and is also the head of his church, which makes him the head of our church. The church that the Lord Jesus Christ is not the head of, you don't really even want to be around or associate with. The man wants to take the credit. That won't work. In verse 2 he says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you." Verse 3. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." But you know, to live those two verses there is what we live expecting when we are a child of God. And he's told us, he has went and fixed a place for each and every one that will believe and put their trust and their love and their work in him. Not in anything else, but in him. And 4, he says, "Whether I go, you know, and the way you know." But see, those that were walking with him in that day and time, they didn't understand what he was telling them either. And them walking with him every day, day by day, and they still wasn't understanding. Because for one, they didn't have what you and I've got, what he has gave to us. When we are born again, child of the living God, they didn't, and at that time, as far as them living with it, they wasn't living with the Holy Spirit in them. For today, those that are born again, children of Almighty God, has the Holy Spirit living in them. These men didn't. Once in a while, when Jesus would send them out, he'd give them the power of the Holy Spirit for just that, whatever that trip was to be about, or that thing was to be about. They didn't know. Jesus, here in 6, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He letting them know there's no other way. He's the way, he's the truth, and he is life. And he tells us there, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." But you know, this is really why we are saved, is to be reconciled back to the Father, the one that made us. But so many are walking contrary to God's way today, and we don't need to be. We all need to be walking with our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, wanting to fulfill his will and do it his way, not ours. Jesus himself in the garden, how did he pray? And he prayed awful strong in that garden. Said he sweat drops of sweat like blood. That's some hard praying. And yet, when he finished with it, he finished by saying, "Not my will be done, but thy will be done." Because you see, he had asked the Father if it could be his will to remove that cup from him. But then he ended up by saying, not my will, but thy will be done. You know, there's so much that we miss out on because we don't walk in the Word of Almighty God. We want to do things our way instead of the way it says. And we see the results all around us today in mankind doing that. And I am a real good example of it. A real good example. Of just that. Wanting him to do things, but to do it my way. And so just here lately, I've learned, Father, not my way, but your way. Whether it's to go home or whether it's to go on being able to do his work here on this earth. Because also here in John, it tells us that to go on to heaven, to be with the Lord Jesus Christ and leave this old world with gain. But you know, Paul told us the same thing. Paul also said that he would like to stay here a little while longer to help others find the Lord Jesus Christ and find salvation. And that's what we all should be looking for. And not paying a lot of attention to this world out here. Only what we need of this world so that we can have clothes on our back. They don't have to be $1,000, $2,000, and $3,000 suits. Just something to cover us. And something that we can keep clean in. And then walk upright in the statue of the Word of Almighty God. Completely dedicated unto him. And with clothes on our back, according to God's word, food on the table, and a roof over our head, we should be content. Most of us are not. That's why it's getting so hard to touch others today and to bring them in close to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, now, here in verse 6, he's told us that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He's also told you now that the only way we can go to the Father is through him. Verse 7. He says, if ye had known me, you should have known my Father. Also, from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. That's something that kind of makes you think, don't it? He's telling them they've seen the Father. They didn't understand that either. They didn't understand that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Father are one. When you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. When you've talked with Jesus, you've talked with the Father. Now we are told in His Word that during this church age, no man will be able to look on the face of God and live. And I got awful close to that. I got awful close to seeing His face. I seen the outline of it. And then the Lord went to interceding for me. And it changed things for me. It changed my life too. Now, here in verse 8, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth. He's still telling the Lord, you got to show us the Father, and then we'll be happy about it. But in 9, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me? Known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. That Jesus' own words. Telling them and you and I. Those that have seen him have seen the Father. And how saith, now then, show us the Father. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. So you see, they're one. But we haven't even got to the good, the real good part of it here yet. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me and the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. He letting you and I know that we can walk exactly like he walked. We can walk with the same power. We can do the same things he was doing. Not because we're anything, but because of the power of the Holy Spirit that's in us, that has brought us the power to do the works of Almighty God. Now, 13, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You know what he's telling you and I there? And really what he's been giving us? He's been giving each and every one of us a POA. Power of attorney. Think about it. We can do all these things through him, through his name. It's his name that gives us the authority to do the things that will be called upon us to do. And then we become that channel for the Holy Spirit to work through. And we can see an awful lot of things happen. A lot of people don't really know what power of attorney really really means. And I can give you a little example. Because I have one. I have one with my wife. Because with her situation, somebody had to be able to act on her behalf. Because you see, I can go to the bank. I can have power of attorney, but if I don't have that with me to show them that I've got it, and I go into the bank and I want to draw money out of her checking account, they won't let me have it. But when I show them that piece of paper that gives me that power of attorney, then there's no argument because they have to let me have. So, you know, we use his name, but where did it come from now? If you don't belong to him, you don't believe in him, then you don't have that power of attorney, and you're not going to receive anything. But if you belong to him, and you have been forgiven, his blood has cleansed you, and you're walking with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, you've got everything you need, just as he told you up here, that whatsoever we ask in his name, he would do. And he tells us then later that the works he was doing, we could do, and even greater works than he had done, we'd do. But see, it's not by our power, it's by his power. Because we have that power of attorney to use his power. Now, Verse 14, he comes right back the second time, letting us know, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. There ain't no might, there ain't no maybe. He says, I will do it. But that all comes through faith. So we put our faith in him. And then he says he'll do what we've asked. 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. There's so many commandments today that very few of us will do. And yet, we are the ones that would really be blessed by it. And another thing, I don't like teaching it. Because a lot of people say, well, that's the only reason he's preaching. That's why you don't see me asking for money. Or anything. I've got a basket that's there. Everybody knows it's there for an offering if they want to give it. Because I don't preach for money. I preach to help others find the Lord Jesus Christ. But we are missing a lot of blessings. And as I've told you all before, the best example of that is in tithes. Oh, well, I can't afford to pay tithes. And you don't have to pay tithes. Well, that's not what God's word says. God's word says when you don't pay them tithes that you owe him, you're a robber and a thief. And as long as you don't pay God his tithes, you're not going to receive any blessing financially. That's why so many out here don't have anything. They can't pay all their bills. They can't meet their bills and things. And most of it is because they don't go to church. They don't belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not paying their tithes. And they're not going to receive. I know that because I lived that part too. I've lived through all of this that I'm talking about here. Am I a wealthy man? According to a lot of people, even here in this county, yeah, I would be. But on paper, no. Because you see, when I started paying my tithes, well, before I started paying them, I think I owed everybody in the country. Living paycheck to paycheck, not having anything left over, and sometimes I'd have to let one go even, and then try to catch it up later. Which when we do those things, when you let a bill go, it's going to cost you extra when you do pay it. Never had any money of my own that I could spend, really. Is I just want to go out and spend. I'd never have anything left over. I started paying my tithes. And when Livy and I got married, I added hers in with mine because I was going to say she paid hers too because she was working when we got married. She really didn't understand that to start with. Not half the time, I think she was kind of upset with me. But I done it. Now today, I've got a little money in two banks. Everything that we've got is paid for. My car's paid off. The home is paid off. My bills don't give me no trouble paying them now. And if I want to, or if I see something that's needed and it's going to cost $100, I can go get it because I know I've got it. And I know that I've been blessed by God. Because really, a lot of it that I've gotten in, especially in the past 5 years, I don't even know where it come from. But it's there. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. He's talking about the Holy Spirit there. We know that when the Lord Jesus Christ went back to heaven, the Word tells us that he's sitting down on the right hand of the Father. And then on the day of Pentecost, that comforter was sent back to be with us and to be with us forever. Another one that will never leave us, the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. He tells us that. He tells us what that comforter is. The comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. Excuse me. Now, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. It's all in God's word, but getting man today to receive it, because for the most part, you can't get them to believe it. That's why our churches are staying so empty today. Mankind has got everything on his mind but the Lord our God. Now, 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me, because I live, ye shall live also. The Lord's letting us know exactly. Our life is in him, and he's in us. He's the one that's given us that life. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. So, the Lord's in the Father. We're in the Lord. That makes us in the Father. And that puts both of them in us. And we know the Holy Spirit, sir, because we've already been told that back earlier in this chapter. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. He's going to let us know and stay with him. Now, 22. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, not the one that betrayed him, this is another Judas. Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? How are you going to do that? What you've been telling us you're going to do about making yourself to us, manifesting yourself to us and not to the world. 23, and Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Abode, they will move in if we'll walk with them, and if we'll keep their commandments. If we'll walk in obedience unto this word. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. He said, these words are not mine. The Father gave them to me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. You see, that's why we have and must fulfill that plan of salvation. We need that Holy Spirit. He's the one that teaches us. He's the one that, as we study God's word, he opens up that word and takes us into the truth of it and also into the power of it. He guides us in it, gives us understanding, He's the one that gives us the power to do what God calls upon us to do. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. Now, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. It's greater than him. But you see, the Father is also three. And he tells us that in his word. He says, there is three in heaven to bear record. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. But we also know, back in the book of Revelation, we are told that there are seven spirits of God. Four man has never dealt with. We don't even know what they are. We don't even know what they're called. But we will when we cross over and get on the other side, if we belong to him. And he lets us know that. He said, then we'll know as we are known. Now, even the best that we can do and the best we see and understand is very little. Very little. When it comes to the knowledge of this book. Yes, we can know everything we need to know for our life. But there's still a lot in there that we don't need, that we'll never know until we step over on the other side. All right, now. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. See, he's coming right back and telling us again to not let our hearts be troubled. 28, you have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it came to pass, that when it has come to pass, you might believe. And it's that belief that will get us into heaven. And without it, we ain't going to make it. And these next two verses, we're going to close it out. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and has nothing in me. The prince of this world, Satan. You see, he is the prince of the world. That's why we're told not to have anything to do with this world out here. He got kicked out of heaven and kicked into the earth. He and all of the angels, fallen angels, that come with him. Because they was all going against God. And he became the prince of this earth. Now, he has no power to make you do anything. He can't make you do nothing. His weapon is deception. Deceiving. And he'll bring sickness to you, yes. But you don't have to receive it. Sometimes good Lord will let you take it because you got something that you need to learn. But God don't give us sickness. God put sickness on no man. It's in his word. He tells you in his word. God don't put sickness on no man. Look when he brought them out of Egypt. They had been in bondage 400 years. They had a lot of sick people, cripples, things. But when God got Pharaoh to turn them loose and they left, there was not one feeble one among them. And all the time going through the desert and around that mountain and all, even where they was carrying on. Their clothing didn't wear out, their shoes didn't wear out. There was no sickness among them. There's a lot out there for you and I if we wake up and accept what God has for us, and if we will actually give him our lives and really walk in his word. But most won't do it. They claim they will. Oh, yeah, I'm going to. I'm going to do this. I'll start this tomorrow. Well, they don't ever get it started. And they sit back and they still are not receiving the blessings they can have because they're not doing according to the word of Almighty God. Now this last verse. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. He's letting you know that whatever the Father has told him, he's going to do it. And whatever we are told in God's word, we're supposed to be the same way. We're supposed to be doing it. But it ain't working that way for most. And even for most that are sitting in places called churches, they're not walking in the word of God. Walking in the word of mankind. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for a place and time that we can come together to share with each other your word, your love, and your caring. Now, Father, for the saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. Israel and Jerusalem, we pray for peace for them. But even more so, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, as their Messiah. So one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. This land of ours, Father, I'm praying, Father, that it can wake up and see what it has done and the evil it's brought upon its own people. And that, Father, we can have those replaced in office that needs to be taken out because they're against you, they're against the church, against the Lord Jesus Christ, and replaced with ones that will work with us, work for our country, to help us, Father, to bring this land to repentance, put our government back upon the foundation which it was founded, and that being the Lord Jesus Christ and your word. Now, Father, for our prayer list, we ask the Holy Spirit as each name is mentioned, Father, that he will touch that one, work with that one to help turn them and bring them in closer to the Lord Jesus Christ and with you. Now, Father, Dennis Lee, James Taylor, myself, Millie and Bobby, Father, Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom's young son Jacob, for Terry Coates, for Dennis Breeden and his wife Tina, for the brothers in Christ there in Brandenburg, Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church, Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, and Pastor Tony Galladay, Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie, and that little Full Gospel Church of God there at Akron. Father, these churches make them lighthouses so that they can be seen, Father, but also make them a place of refuge to where the lost, walking in darkness, can go and find light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for my three minister friends in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyr Iron, keep them safe, Father. Keep them in health and see to their needs. They walk in dangerous places that you know, Father. Take care. Jimmy Emery, Sharon Mombillo and her mother, Sue and David Branson, Palin Goodman, Kelly Smith and his wife, Karen, Father. These all stand in need of a healing touch. Some are in need of physical healing and some in spiritual healing. Work with them, Father. Bring them all in. Bring them all into thy house somewhere to where they can hear the word and that they can grow close to the Lord Jesus Christ. Walk with all of us now, Father, from now until Sunday morning, 11 a.m., when we can all come together again to show our praise and to worship together, giving honor and glory and all praise unto you, Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit for the things they do. Now, Father, be with us. Keep us safe. Keep us in health. In Jesus' name, amen. And God bless. Well, be sure to be with us now come 11 o'clock Sunday morning. So until then, walk with God, he'll walk with you. Bye-bye now.